Thank you very much, Chairperson, for your members. My name is Sam Kuluga. I'm the Secretary for Japan, and I will have a delegation that will be able to
Good morning, members. My name is Teresa Kamede. I'm the Chief of Defense Policy Strategy and Planning. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. I am Major General Edwava, Geodetic Sensors Commission.
Good morning, members. I'm Brigadier General Titi, Conduct Director Planning in the
GDF. Good morning. My name is
Nana Kusilika.
I'm Chief Director of Budget Management.
Chairperson of Carol Farrensberg on the issue of supply control within the JNDF.
Good morning, I'm
Kevin
Babala, responsible
for the Commission. Good morning, General Tulele Arikum Kusula, National Rex Unit, Western Cape Officer Commanding.
Good morning, I'm Brigadier General Mongo, Director of Procurement.
Good morning, honorable members. Moses Ramsey from the Department of Military Veterans Planning Section.
Morning, my name is Regina Remy, CFO, Department of Defense.
Morning, Chair Member. Peter Ngavin, the PLO, Minister of Defense.
Thank you very much. Honorable Member. Honorable Member.
Morning, everyone. My name is Shadrach Kaole, member of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, as I have indicated as we started,
I will suggest that we do not stick to the program as it is because of the challenges that we have, but happy that it will Oh, you are the one who's leading. Oh, then we can follow the program as it is and accept the amendment that we made about the adoption of our reports. So we can do that on our own. All right. Then we can now start with the, that is with the item 5. Now we can start with the item 5.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I just wanted to apologize to the committee on behalf of the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans, who I think the Chair has received apologies and information that she is actually not well. She is not sick. And also just to apologize on my behalf that in the afternoon I would have to go back to Pretoria because of the extraordinary session of the summit of SADC that requested to receive our input later on today in preparation for the SADC summit that is taking place tomorrow and Friday. In this regard then, I'm now introducing the new Chief of Logistics, General Nguli, who's attending this meeting for the first time in his capacity as a Chief of Logistics. He will then be heading the delegation for the presentation this afternoon on procurement and refurbishment of our facilities to be joined by the Surgeon General on one military hospital renovations, as well as recruitment and retention of specialists in the South African Military Health Services. If that is acceptable, then, Honorable Chairperson, I will go ahead and present the first quarter of our annual performance. On the first quarter of the Department of Defense, the financial and non-financial performance status for this financial year, 17-18. If I'm not mistaken, Honorable Chairperson, I would have to present in a very short space of time because you would also like to take presentation and discussion of the Department of Military Veterans before we adjourn for lunch. Thank you very much. In this presentation, we will cover the analysis of the Department of Defense performance indicators and the type of various Department of Defense performance indicators, legislative requirements, and we will also try to link these performance indicators for the first quarter of this financial year to the MTSF outcome number 3 and MTSF outcome number 11, which are the ones that are mostly relevant to the core function of the Department of Defense. I will then, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, report on few selected performance indicators and give a summary of our first quarter performance. As far as the financial performance information is concerned, I will quickly just go through the state of expenditure as of 30th of June 2017 and draw to the attention of the members certain comments on the PEP program, as well as certain comments on various economic classifications. For the non-performance from a non-traditional performance report, we would like to inform the members that within the Department of Defense, we have about 114 performance indicators that we have planned for this financial year. And these 114 performance indicators include about 14 South African defense force and classified targets, which we would usually not report in open meetings, but report to the closed sessions of this portfolio committee. The 65 of these targets are within the core functions of the Department of Defense, which is those of South African National Defense Force. Minister of Defense supports you and the Secretary of the Force. Okay, I think apologies that the members should have received about three reports, and this was as requested by the chair in terms of our
presentation.
Yes, sir. Okay. You will then have the members will have what you call narrative report. Thank you very much. When you look at those performance indicators, this is how they are divided in terms of program, just to give the members an idea where are these performance indicators per program. And also, these performance indicators, we then present them to the members in terms of the program, the target, as well as the total target. Just to draw their attention to the members that these targets, some of them are quarterly targets, whereas others are annual targets. And this will come out throughout the presentation that during this quarter, a quarterly target was met, or it was not met. Achieved or not achieved, and then they will indicate that how much of that target was achieved towards the annual target as such. The main output in the administration program, when we look at it, is that of the ministerial direction, departmental direction, defense policy advice, departmental strategic direction, corporate planning, budgeting and reporting. The Defense Secretariat, Honorable Chairperson, discharges its mandate to assist the great authority in executing civil control over the South African National Defense Force through the various administration sub-programs. And the main areas that are monitored in this task of executing civil control over the South African National Defense Force are submission of accountability documents, policy and strategy finalization and approval, human resources requirements, corruption and fraud identified and related, litigations related to such fraud and corruption that has been identified, activities that are related to the implementation of the medium-term strategic framework outcomes, including outcome number 12, that one of 30-day payments to SMS and financial and disclosures. The Department of Defense performance indicators per reporting period, we will find that about 67 of these targets are really annual targets. The quarterly targets are about 30, and sometimes biannual targets of the of part of the medium-term strategic framework, we have about three. And when we look at the targets now for the first quarter of this financial year 2017 and 18, the South African National Defense Force within this first quarter had the quarter under review, had 21 targets. The Secretariat of the Department of Defense had 10 targets. And the Ministry of Defense and other various state organs such as military ombud and so forth, had about three targets within this headquarter that are going to be met. So, Honorable Chairperson, on a quarterly basis, our selected performance that we'll be looking into include those of that are derived from the defense mandate, those that represent the largest cost drivers in the Department of Defense, the basis for the DoD budget allocation from the National Treasury, as well as those that are included in the estimate of national expenditure. These will be the selected targets that we will report this morning to the portfolio committee based on the criteria that I've just mentioned. But we will also report on various program performance indicators that are instituted across all budget programs, and those that enable performance of monitoring and control, as well as identify certain challenges that should be addressed in order for the success to be replicated. As we are reporting this morning, we are reporting in terms of legislative requirements, including the PFMA that states that the accounting officer of a department must ensure that the department has and maintains effective, efficient, and transparent systems of financial and risk management, as well as internal control. We are also reporting according to Treasury regulations that says that quarterly reporting to the executive authority must be executed by the accounting officer to facilitate effective performance monitoring, evaluation, and corrective action. The framework for strategic plans requires the accounting officer to indicate measures that will be taken to ensure implementation of the annual performance plan and to make sure that this annual performance plan is on track. And also the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency provided guidelines as of May of this year that indicated that preliminary information must be submitted within 30 days after the end of each quarter, and actual information must be submitted with preliminary data of the next quarter coming. I will then now go ahead, Honorable Chairperson, and report on the performance indicators, those that are linked to outcome number three. Outcome number three of the medium strategic framework, the MTSF, states that people are and feel safe. So the Department of Defense's contribution to this medium-term strategic framework outcome number three includes the indicator that refers to the number of landward subunits that were supposed to deploy across the board. As far as this performance indicator is concerned, we would like to report that the International National Defense Force during this quarter under review deployed about 15 companies across for border safeguarding in the provinces of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Northwest Province. Although we have indicated to this committee before that in our assessment we require deployment of 22 companies to make sure that our borders are efficiently and effectively defended. Because of the limitation in our resources and budget, we can only deploy 15 companies instead of 22, meaning that our borders will, to a certain extent, remain porous, as I think we have noted in this portfolio committee from time to time. Despite the limited resources, our troops on the borders were able to apprehend about 3,841 illegal foreigners who tried to cross our borders during this quarter under review. 181 criminals were arrested, and 34 stolen vehicles were recovered, 2,464 kilograms of dacha was confiscated, 8 weapons were about 874 stocks was Australian stock was recovered, and contraband goods that were confiscated during this quarter under review were to the value, Honourable Chairperson, of 10.2 million rands. When it comes to the development of the overarching strategy for securing our borders in keeping with the Border Management Agency Bill, a thing that is currently in Parliament, this strategy was approved under the quarter, during the quarter under review, and the framework was developed then to enable the implementation of this strategy. Still looking at other performance indicators of the department that are linked to this medium-term strategic framework outcome number three, the percentage of compliance with the various DoD governance, that is the promulgation of the cyber warfare strategy. This cyber warfare strategy was developed by the department and submitted to the Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster of Minister, where it is now being considered. For the sensor strategy on our borders, the sensor strategy has been developed, and it is now going through the processes within the department for approval so that it can be presented to the Council on Defense, which is chaired by the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans, before it is presented for the consideration by the JCPS cluster of ministers. The cyber warfare plan performance indicator, during the this is a target to be achieved as an annual target at the end of the year, but during this quarter under review, the cyber defense strategy was approved and the cyber structure is currently being developed. This cyber warfare structure will include will require a budget and will include various capabilities that will be required as part of the cyber warfare plan. I would now like to present, Honorable Chairperson, those performance indicators that are linked to outcome number 11 of the medium-term strategic framework. As we will recall, outcome number 11 states that South Africa towards creating a better South Africa, contributing to a safer and better Africa in a better way. That is the outcome number 11 of the medium-term strategic framework. In this regard, then, we will be focusing on those contributions that made by the department towards a better Africa and a better world, starting with the number of defense attaches that we as Department of Defense deploy to the southern country. We have had a plan to deploy 10 defense attaches, and the 10 defense attaches have been deployed. When it comes to the compliance with the ordered commitments outside South Africa, we would indicate that these ordered commitments come from the government of South Africa as ordered by the Commander-in-Chief, and our target for that quarter was to make sure that during the quarter under review we meet 100% of all of those commitments, and indeed, we did meet, achieve that order commitment that we were able to comply with 100% of those order commitments during this quarter, which was that one of deploying and participating in the UN peacekeeping operations in the DRC, that is Operation MONUSCO of the United Nations, as well as support to the Mozambican defense force with the counter piracy operation as part of our maritime security patrols that were conducted offshore of the Mozambican channel commitment that was met. When it comes to the compliance with the Southern Africa Development Community Stand by Force, the South African Self Defense Force was able to meet this person at this commitment 100% in ensuring that we have a standby force that the South African Self Defense Force structure elements deployed in peacekeeping mission that constituted part of this contribution of the South African Self Defense Force to the standby force of SADC. The next performance indicator that is linked to the MTSF outcome number 11 is that one of providing general military assistance to SADC. In this regard, we would request, we would report that yes, there was a commitment towards deploying our forces to train the armed forces of the Democratic Republic of Congo at the Mura base in the DRC. But this commitment was not achieved. The reason being that when our platoon that was deployed in the DRC to train, we found that the members of the DRC armed forces were not ready for training. They had not recruited the necessary company to be trained by our defense force. So there was no training that took place during this project. The information we have is that there has been change of circumstances where the DRC now is requesting us to train their trainers rather than to train the platoon. Also, when it comes to the general military assistance to be provided to the DRC armed forces, we had developed a military strategy for the DRC, and this military strategy now is in the process of being implemented. Six members of the South African National Defense Force are supporting the implementation of this strategy by the armed forces of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Still, on the performance indicators that are linked to the MTSF outcome number 11, the indicator of joint interdepartmental, interagency, and multinational military exercises, there were no military exercises that were planned during the quarter under review. But just for information, I think the members might have heard about the international joint exercises that was conducted by our South African National Defense Force with the armed forces of the United States in the joint military exercise that is called Shared Accord. This was conducted after the end of the quarter. And there are other joint military exercises that are planned for the second quarter, as well as the third quarter of the current financial year. At this point, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to present on some of the selected performance indicators. If I'm reporting, and if there's a repeat of these indicators based on what I've presented in terms of the MTSF outcome-related indicators, I will mention, so I will try not to repeat the report. But one of the selected indicators that we have selected to report on was that one of number of military skills development MSDS military skills development members that are in the system. We had planned to, during this quarter, to have 3,651, and this was achieved maybe by more members were actually recruited into the system because of additional intake by the South African Air Force. terms of number of reserve force men days, that is the call-ups of the members of the reserve force, the men days that was planned, at least for this financial year, is that one of 1,817,104, and the progress so far during the quarter under review, 562,227 men days were called, which is 87% of the planned annual target. The Defense Force attachés, we've already talked about them, that we have 10 in SADA, but if you, the members can then see where are the other defense attachés deployed. 13 in African countries, as mentioned here above, 21 for the rest of the world in the country, as mentioned in the slide presentation. For the compliance with the ordered commitments, we have already reported on this performance indicator, as well as for the number of companies deployed on our borders and achievement thereof, we have already reported on. And now I'm on slide number 33, where I'm looking at the internal operations, because we have reported on the external operations. The internal operations support to the police during safety and security operations, that is Operation Prosper. Operation Chariot, participation in disaster and aid relief, the humanitarian assistance. For search and rescue operations, that's Operation Arabella, as well as water safeguarding. The details of these operations are contained in a narrative report that we have distributed. I would invite the honorable members to take a look at that so that I will not have to go into details. But I think suffice to mention one of these operations, which was the South African Air Force that provided firefighting assistance in the Western and Eastern Cape in the areas of Naizna over the period of 8 to the 18th of June, whereby during this period a total of 891 Bambi buckets of water were delivered on the fires, and the fires were extinguished by our four Oryx and DK and Augusta helicopters, honorable chairperson.
Congratulations.
Just for logic. When you talk to the percentage of compliance with the Community Standby Force, I think we've covered that part. And the joint exercises have already been covered. And just on slide number 36, we are referring to the performance indicator of the force employment hours that were flown, starting with the air defense. That the target there is to have 5,000 flying hours, and during this quarter, 1,218 hours were flown by the South African Air Force towards the target, annual target of 5,000. And for the hours at sea, towards the annual target of 12,000 hours at sea during this quarter under review, 1,499 hours at sea were accomplished. Now, to summarize the indicators and performance program by program, we would then like to inform the committee that for the organs of state that are reporting to the Minister of Defense, the achievement of targets that were met during this quarter under review was 67%. For the Defense Secretariat, it was 60%. For the South African Self-Defense Force, it was 76%. And then for the whole Department of Defense, the targets that were met for the quarter under review was 71%. Just to touch base quickly on those targets that were not achieved during this first quarter, starting with the Office of the Military Ombud, the target there for the performance indicator of the percentage of written complaints received that were finalized within this quarter, the target for the first quarter was 70%, and it is reported that the actual achieved was 24.7%, and the deviation was that the turnaround time of a complaint submitted to the military ombud for comment consultation had to be first concurred and finalized involving the external stakeholders. For the payment of invoices within 30 days, we had sought to achieve 75% of those invoices to be paid within 30 days. We achieved 70%, and meaning that out of 78,519 invoices that were received, out of 110,921 invoices that were received, we were able to pay within 30 days 78,519 invoices. And the other invoices were not paid within 30 days. And the main reason, if one might mention here, Honorable Chairperson, involved the invoices of the South African Military Health Services, that is the medical bills. When it comes to the medical bills, and for the members of the Defense Force eligible to be treated by the South African Military Health Services, you will find that those that are in remote areas and faraway areas will, on urgent basis, or sometimes even on emergency basis, report to the medical practitioners and have to be treated on urgent basis. And when time comes to pay those medical practitioners, there is a process that still has to be followed, because some of them, you might find that they are not in our database, and according to our regulations of Ministry of Treasury, they are not supposed to pay service providers who are not on the database, and that takes time, more than 30 days, before we can finalize everything. And also, to try and avoid fraud, we have to verify these invoices that we received, whether it is for the medical bills, to make sure that the claimed medical services were actually rendered, or whether it is for the delivery of such goods as fuel and food, to make sure that before we pay, fuel and food was actually delivered to the cost that is captured in the invoices. That process takes a while, but we are committed to ensure that these bills are all paid within 30 days. When it comes to the performance indicator of submission of accountability documents, we would like to report that one of the targets that was not achieved was that all SMS performance agreements were supposed, 75% of them, we would have liked to have been submitted during the first quarter. We know that these performance agreements are supposed to be submitted to the Department of Public Service by September, but at least we wanted to be 75% by the first quarter, and we were only 58%. But as I'm presenting to you now, we are on target. That's 79% have already been submitted, and we hope that by 30th of September, 30% of all performance agreements would have been submitted. Although it's not highlighted here, not achieved, in terms of being achieved, I'm happy to report, Honorable Chairperson, that 100% of our financial disclosures were submitted during the first quarter, long before we were supposed to submit them in September. And I'm talking about 885 senior managers who have all submitted their financial disclosures of things. Just that I didn't have a way to highlight that, so I had to find a way to highlight this presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Where we are struggling and we didn't achieve in the first quarter is the performance indicator of disciplinary cases in the Department of Defense to be reported, to be finalized within 90 days. During this quarter under review, we had 9 disciplinary cases, and only 2 of the cases were finalized, but they have now since all been finalized that were received during that quarter. When it comes to the percentage of recommendations and implementation of the internal controls as identified by the internal audit, according to the internal audit plan for this quarter under review, which was from April to June, the department was involved in the audit period of the previous financial year that ended March 31st, 2017. So during this quarter, there were no audit reports issued by the internal audit because the internal audit was involved with the external auditors and Auditor General's office in auditing the previous year, financial year. When it comes to the performance indicator of marketing the events to promote the reserves, this is one indicator that was also not achieved during this quarter because the department had planned to have 9 events to promote the reserves, and only 7 events were organized to promote the reserves, and the reason was due to the limited budget. I think we have already indicated the other performance indicator that was not achieved, which is the general military assistance in the water base in the DRC. Another target that was not achieved during this quarter was that of the number of healthcare cases that were seen by the South African Military Health Services that had targeted to see 535,139 cases based on the previous experience, and the actual achieved was 501,787. And as we said, the deviation was due to the trends that we have witnessed in the cases and activities of the South African Military Health Services. When it comes to the defense intelligence output indicator of number of vetting decisions that were taken according to their plan, they have planned to in this quarter to take to vet and conclude 1,625 cases, and they vetted and concluded 1,448 cases. So we're reporting this as one of those targets that was not achieved. And the next target that was not achieved involved the Department of Defense ICT strategy. We would have liked to see the ICT systems in the Department of Defense during this quarter at least modernized and improved by about 25%, and in our assessment, they were modernized and improved up to about 20%, and this is still work in progress, especially when it comes to the disaster recovery plan, which we are waiting for CETA to present the reference architecture and assist in the establishment of the disaster recovery for the information system at the Department of Defense, which is one of the major improvement, modernization and improvement summary of this target of these indicators. These are the performance indicator for this quarter has indicated that the achievement of the whole department was 71%, as we reported. Now, that concludes the performance aspect of our report for this quarter. When it comes to the financial report, the next slide just indicates that when we look at expenditure of the budget of the Department of Defense quarter by quarter, it is not a straight line. In other words, the first quarter, the target is not to spend 25% for the first quarter. It starts a little bit slow while the preparation for the next of the annual performance targets to be reached are being planned and being processed. So for the first quarter, the target was for 22% and not 25% as I've indicated. And the expenditure for this quarter that we're reporting, instead of 22%, it was 23%. So there was a slight over expenditure if we are looking at that against the plan that was approved. And also make it visible to the honorable members on slide number 52, we are now looking at the expenditure per program during this quarter in terms of the funds that are available for the year and the expenditure for this quarter and the funds that might still be available. We would like to draw to the attention of the portfolio committee that our major challenge as far as our budget planning for this financial year is that our budget has been reduced for the Department of Defense over the MGDF, and that we have a shortfall, as we present this morning, of 1.972 billion rands for the compensation of employees. We have a headcount of about 75,500 employees in the Department of Defense, but the budget allocated for us is far less than what is required for the 75,500 employees, and it is less by 1.972 billion. So we will be appealing to the portfolio committee when it looks into the budget of the department for this financial year to help us manage this shortfall of 1.972 billion rand for the compensation of employees. Otherwise, we will end up with an over expenditure on the cost of employees come the end of this current financial year. So when you look at the program expenditure, you can already see that I think we will be showing it when I'm looking at the various classification, this shortfall will be showing. But for the main reason then for the over expenditure on this quarter under review was mainly because of the overrun of the costs that were actually that occurred in the previous quarter, as it were. It was mainly due to salary increases as well as the public work services that were rendered in the previous quarter and paid during the quarter under review. For the slide number 54, when we're looking at the actual expenditure versus plan, I think we will be mostly looking at the red and the green graphs that are on the board. That if the red and the green, they are correlated, then it means that we did spend in that area according to into the planned expenditure. And as you can see, maybe the area where the actual expenditure was higher than the plan, which is the green one, is mostly in the military health support services, and somewhere also with the army. When you look at the next slide, slide number 55, which is now the expenditure according to various economic classification, the critical area, as I was indicating there, is on single number one, which is compensation of employees. Here, we already, instead of spending 22%, the expenditure there for the whole budget is already 25.8, so it's already higher than what was expected. And as I say, we are now projecting that by the end of this financial year, the compensation of employees will be an over expenditure of 1.97 billion rand. And that's where we are really requesting whatever help in terms of the oversight. We are engaged with the National Treasury in that regard. And as we have indicated, the over expenditure was mostly in the rollover payments by the South African Military Health Services, as well as the foreign exchange losses that led to that over expenditure. And the economic classification in slide number 57 highlights that if you look at the planned expenditure versus the actual expenditure, we can tell that for the compensation of employees, you have a higher actual expenditure, which is red, versus the planned expenditure, which is green, which is really the main challenge that is faced by the Department of Defense. It is not just for this year. It is also for the next NTSF. Today we are, for this current financial year, we are, the shortfall is 1.9 billion, and for the financial year 18-19, which is right now being developed, that the shortfall increases to about 3 billion rand for the compensation of employees in the Department of Defense. I thank you very much, Honorable Members. Chairs.
Thank you very much. Chief of Logistics, Lieutenant General. You remember one of the members we were dealing with Lieutenant General Wadia, who's going on pension, I guess. We are welcome and we hope we meet you very well as to what are the expectations of this committee. Get more information as you interact with the writer during the day. And honorable members, before that, I would like to tell the department that the border management authority bill has passed the parliament. Okay. We must not leave the voice next month. It will be passed next year, so you must actually, and the most important thing, honorable member, that we must take note of. We said in the last meeting that we need to have our quarterly report in time, and that is what is happening. We are happy about that. I think, I hope you will continue doing this, and in terms of what you did not achieve in the first quarter, we hope it will overlap in the next quarter, and by the end of the financial year, we would expect a 100% achievement in all energy performance indicators of key performance areas. Honorable member, over to you. Honorable Bongo, Honorable Marais.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Apologies for coming late. I mean, I'm in another meeting. I was just a new one. So that is why I'm also the first to be to speak, because I must get back to the other meeting. Usually it's Honorable S. House that
I
think, thank you, for the wonderful presentation. I think I only have one request. What I would also want to hear next time when Secretary comes is the issue of the shortfall. It is in view of the fact that we discussed more and more again, that we need to do certain things to deal with the shortfall. So my request is that maybe we must develop a dashboard in terms of which we'll be able to report around the issue of the shortfall, because we have raised very sharply when we're on an oversight that we want to sell all those crabs that we're lying there. You remember that when you took us by the helicopter. But we're given the support to send all those crabs and generate money out of those crabs so that we're able to cover the shortfall. And Treasurer was keen on the issues that we have requested, that the monies that are made through your program must come back to yourself. So the dashboard must be able to give us progress in terms of those issues. The issue of endowment property. I think we need to just develop a dashboard that will monitor from time to time to make sure that we get to the shortfall and deal with it decisively and progressively. Otherwise, we'll speak shortfall, and we're just going to speak about the shortfall until the end of the term. So I think the only matter I want to talk to about today, Chair. And I think next meeting, if we can just know development and endowment, those crabs that I sold, and the money from the National Treasury that is supposed to come back to you. Because we need to be self-generating. And there is another program that I don't know exactly. The one that involves the rural communities. The one that involves rural communities that will seek to empower those rural communities and will also generate money for the Department of Defense. I think those are the issues that we want us to zoom into within the speed of a mirage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Secretary, for the presentation. I know you haven't got an easy job these days, especially with the cut in the budget. Can I ask my first question just on your slide 16, where you refer to that 15 subunit that has been deployed in the borders, and you've mentioned all the provinces. Can I ask you whether we, with that 15, do we cover all the borders? Because one must remember that especially Limpopo and Mpumalanga has got huge and very long borders. Are we effective in that, or are we just scratching the surface? My objective is to say, what do we actually need? Is 15 adequate for the job, or do we need hypothetically 30 to do the job? So that will also indicate to us what is the risk that we are working with, and what is the challenges, the further challenges, in terms of only the objective to to safeguard our borders. So it may be a long shot, but it's just to get to grips with the realities of what we as a country are facing. Then on the cyber defense strategy, as well as the the cyber warfare strategy, those strategies you said is in the process. Obviously, we haven't been briefed on that. Am I correct? And then, if so, what is expected from us is to, by the way, be informed of that, or to play a role as a portfolio committee. In other words, for us to interrogate that and to look at what you are dealing with, what is the challenges, is that reality? And I'm only saying that because we should not be used only as the last resort and say, listen, we now have problems, we now need your support. And then we haven't been informed, we don't know what the objective is, we don't know what the briefs are, whether that's in line with the things that we have identified. Those things are just very important that we be in the loop right from the beginning and know exactly and support you in that way and not just be a rubber stamp. Then on slide 36, I just want to find out that, and we know that the flying hours have been cut by the budget as well as the number of hours at sea. Those force employed hours and the VVIP hours, can you give an indication of what those hours were used for? Is it for training? Is it for actual involvement in border control or patrol or physical actions? But also on the VVIP, and I'll tell you why. Because obviously we know that we have not, and it's been reported that we have a huge problem. So are we just keep on training? Do we train enough? We've heard so many times that we haven't budgeted for enough flying hours, so we are losing pilots. So that we don't just come and say, yes, we have, in terms of the targets, we have done that and we are on track towards 5,000 hours. But in the meantime, we're actually crippling the defense force. Also, on especially both those force employed and the VIP, which squadrons were really affected, and those hours have been flown. But we know the VIP, but the force employment hours, which squadrons were they? The impact of leased aircraft. We know that even for the transport of our troops and for equipment to Central Africa, to the peacekeeping missions, often you must use chartered aircraft. So we want to know whether that's included in there, whether it's additional, and obviously the impact of that. And it's also on the VVIP, and I'm asking this, and please bear with me. I'm going to link to Inkwazi. We know that Inkwazi has been flying all over the country, to Langebaan, to East London, to Bloemfontein, to Caledon, is that, and I've been given the reason that's for training. And then my question was training for what and for what purpose. If Inkwazi is not being used, and we must now use the flying hours to train pilots that we're not going to use, compared to other requirements where we know we've been cut. And I just need an answer on that one. And then the big thing is where you ended up, Secretary, and that's with regards to the financial information. Now, you've asked us support with that 1.972 billion rand. It seems like the resolution for you lies in increasing the budget. But if we look at the defense review, and if we look at so many reports that have come and referring to very loosely to the 40-30-30 division, and you have obviously not reported in that regard in terms of HR operations and equipment, but in this case HR is already now at 60%. Is that not the problem? Is that not the problem that we've got too many employees? somehow, and Treasury has told us that in no uncertain terms. Every year we complain about it, and every year we get the same response from Treasury and from the Minister with regards to the allocated budget. Let's be honest at some other time and say, okay, how can we deal with it? We cannot constantly increase the budget and we know that the GDP is not there and the money is not there. So should we not be proactive in that regard and say, how can we reduce that in terms of what the Defence Review is 2000 and say, how can we get closer to 40%? That the problem is not only the money, but the problem is also how can we resize and reprioritize that. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. I'd like to refer to page 8. I just need some clarity before I start my questions on these targets. If it can just be explained to me, if I add up targets, I get 70, but it's classified as quarterly targets, 13, biannual targets, and then you Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. If I add up all, I get 70. But I just want, how does one then see the quarterly target in terms of Q1, 2, 3, and 4? If we go to the next line, we see forced employment. There are four targets. In quarter four, we only have three. So is the intention only to then deal with three targets? Then two targets for language defense, and nothing indicated in any of the quarters, which means nothing will be achieved. So I just need some explanation because to me it's not very clear where I'm going with these targets. And I know the performance is 79% currently. So I need to understand where it fits in. Can just be explained to me. Then I can proceed with the questions. Thank you very much. That's the one. The other one, as we proceed here with the questions, Honorable Chair, we've been asking several times, and I think we've also referred to our own developments where we are selling technology internationally and it's being used by the private sector, that the porous borders has remained. And I want to thank the department for these operations that they've actually confiscated so many contraband and all the weapons, etc., with the 15 companies only being used. And we will insist on the force multipliers. Because if your numbers are down, your physical numbers of soldiers, you can only increase your performance by using technology effectively. And we're not getting answers. I see the sensor strategy is going through. That's the one for consideration. I don't know the time frames. The cyber strategies also, we don't know exact time frames. It will be implemented sometime in 1718. So I would like to know what exactly is happening, and also those are flying below the radar, and all those airports that are on our borders that people are actually flying over the border to and fro, and it's not being monitored at all. What is being done about that? So it is a concern, not only the border, but actually people flying over our border without being detected. Then I'd like to move on, Honorable Chair. I see that the border safeguarding strategy, as you spoke about the BMA, and of course the cooperation, that will probably be the same because the defense is not part of BMA. So they will have the relationship that they had before of how they manage the borders. The other one, of course, as I said, cyber technology, sensor technology, what exactly is going to be referred to the JCPS? What are the time frames for actually trying to resolve that and be adopted and that it can be implemented? And if there is also the money available to actually implement it, what is the cost attached to the sensor strategy? Then we have also, we continue, of course, the cyber warfare flag. All the phases are indicated, 1 to 6. And also we need to ask, it's going to be a phased approach. How long is it going to take? Because the cyber issue internationally has become a huge issue and a huge threat to all countries. So the urgency regarding that matter is, of course, absolutely urgent that we get a response. Concerning the defense attaches, I see there is only a note made of 44, but we know that it was a projection of 46, and there was a cutback then from the two. Now, we've also asked the questions, I know about the defense attaches was for the SADC region, that is fine. But the issue is, the more defense attaches we're opening up, we're spending more money in other countries. Are we actually deriving the benefits by using our defense attaches and to market our country and our technology, etc., to raise more money? So what is the feasibility of defense attache, or is it simply just for intelligence reasons? And do we really get good intelligence back? So otherwise, it doesn't serve the purpose it's supposed to serve as a defense attache. So I think we need to get a more accurate report, and I'm not even sure the Foreign Relations Bureau is actually giving reports on defense attache. We don't know the performance of defense attache, what they really do for our country. And it's supposed to promote our technology and also to sell, and particularly in countries where we do peace missions, that we enhance the position of South Africa so that they can also get returns on investment that we make in the peace missions in Africa. Regarding the issue of the operations in the DRC, I see there's a suspension, but we know that the president signed off the letter of employment, which means the money's been allocated, and soldiers will be paid. Although the operations are suspended, soldiers must be paid. They can be based there, they can do nothing, but they must be paid. So there's an issue of below than the normal expenditure on the employment. So I wonder what exactly is the reason for the underspending now on the employment. Okay, that is one of the issues there, Jay. The other one is, I see there is now the training that will take place. What about the ACIRC operation, which of course has to change over to the African Standby Force? We know that currently it is a MONUSCO operation with the United Nations and other countries involved. But exactly what is the position if they are suspended? If you're suspended, the rebels are still continuing with their fighting. And currently we know there's huge instability in DRC. And there was an appeal from Kabila himself to the opposition chief to call for peace and to stop the fighting. So there's a serious crisis and South Africa's role has been suspended. So our soldiers are being paid. They're not fulfilling that. If they're suspended, are they not fall back? Are they continuing? Because all our equipment and all other things are in DRC. So what is exactly the situation? And of course, if you are suspended and your vehicles and equipment are not in use, the reimbursement is consequently also affected because you only pay for the services that you render. So we'd like to have an update on that specific issue. On the operation, the piracy that we have, Operation Copper, we had a breakdown of the frigate as well. We had no report except in the newspaper. So there's a report here of the performance, the offshore patrol vessel from this period to that period, but there's no indication of breakdowns where it was not operational at all. And that was officially reported in the newspaper. So I'd like to know what is the performance, and also Simonstown, we've asked, can they keep up with the repairs and refurbishment of the necessary frigates, because they've got a job to do. And the Durban Harbour, the Durban Island that we have there, that has not been prepared yet. That is still under construction and all the infrastructure required to be another base to operate from, which of course would be much better to deal with the Mozambican Channel. The other one I want to raise is this, I've raised the issue of general military assistance and of course training the trainers. If that is the case, we only have 6 members that will be part of that operation and all other people will be sitting there suspended. The MSDS is another concern. I see the target is 3651. We have progressed towards the annual target of 3842, which is excellent. However, when I meet the MSDS students, they're unemployed and on the street. So what do we do with the skills and things we've learned? Do we now go into stealing and to crime and to survive? What do we do? So the issue of rejuvenating the force is becoming imminent. We are producing students almost 4,000 per year, and they are not being put into the reserve force and neither into the defense itself. So most of our MSDS students that have graduated, that have been trained, and we spend a lot of money on them, are actually now on the street unemployed. We'd like to know what is the solution, because there needs to be a political will and action needs to be taken. Otherwise, our age is now gone for 36 and gone proper to 38 for the reserve force, which we are using extensively on the borders, and also on peace missions. So they are very old soldiers that we are using. And the ones in the force was 26, and they probably also have now increased to 27, 28 years, the average. So it's abnormal to have a force that is getting so old when we have so many young people that have been trained to actually serve our country. So the department needs to get some clarity. Where are we going with this? We need to rejuvenate. We need to make those changes. And therefore, the issue of the 1.9 billion, I think there's also a request from Treasury that the department must make a saving of 1 billion. So there's a compensation of 2 billion that needs to be paid. There's a saving of 1 billion to be made from expenditure. So it becomes impossible to run this department effectively. Every single quarter is going to be overspending. I don't have to even dream about it, to think about it. It's going to happen because of the 82 billion that is required. So every single quarter is going to be overspending. The other one that I'd like to raise, Honourable Chair, just as we go through the, I think the issue of the flying hours that has been dealt with and the targets that have been set, it seems that it won't be reached. And of course, according to the budget, there was extra fuel acquired, gas and fuel. So why would the extra gas and fuel obtained? And of course, we don't meet the flying hours or the sea hours. So we're sitting with diesel and things, so unless it's used for some other purpose. But there was according to the budget, there was more fuel and gas that was acquired for the defense. If we see 71% achieved and 29, 71% is not excellent. It's just above the average. So it is not something to blow our trumpet. And I think also we need to improve on that performance, Honorable Chair. I think all of us would like to see a defense department which has been used as a model for many of the other departments because of its performance. And I think it can perform much better. And we need to give it the support where we can, but they need to up the game as well. The other one, of course, Chair, we have here is the SMS performance agreement. I heard the SECDEF making mention of the achievement of financial disclosure, extremely happy about it. But that is the compliance which is absolutely necessary. So SMS performance agreement, there's no compromise. The first term of every single financial year, those things must be executed in that first month. There's no excuse, regardless of the numbers. So I think this is one thing that we want to ensure for the entire government and all its departments, that our officials and senior members comply and that we uphold that sound governance in our structures. So we will urge and continue to insist that that must be 100th achievement within the first month of every financial year. Of course, there may be good reasons, and of course, we appreciate that. The department managed to settle the remaining of 7 cases outside the required 90 days. That's on the issue of the disciplinary cases. Honorable Chair, just give us some idea of what were the causes for those delays. Were they because of external consultations and other things that have to be done in terms of the case? And of course, if it's justified, we don't have any problem. But is there enough power, manpower, to actually deal with the disciplinary matters within the defense force? The other one, of course, we understand the internal controls and that it's not applicable for the first quarter because the AG's report is still underway. Yeah, I think the other ones, which is also a huge concern, is the military health support, where we have also increases because of salary, and that's expected for all, basically all the programs. The one that worries me is the medical equipment and also the outsourcing of medical services, which comes at a huge cost. Now, when will that be dealt with? Do we discuss that matter with the Surgeon General later, Honourable Chair? Or do we request from the department side to give us some idea at this stage? Because that matter is causing a huge problem with overspending for the department for SAMS itself. So we've got a big worry And we've seen also the serve health activities that have been highlighted, is a reduction in it. But it's also not been with Dalesfield, for instance. We do know that there were not enough doctors available, and then people were told only 20 patients that have to come there a day. And all others, they won't consider, they must just come another day. So if those health activities will be affected, it will impact on the health of our soldiers, our military veterans that are now using these facilities as well. So I would appreciate that we get some clarity on some of those matters, and then of course we hope that the second quarter will also be much better. Capital is assets only standing at 11.7. Maybe we can just get an understanding. Normally capital assets take longer, the acquisition and procurement processes. So that may improve. When will that balance out? And the reason for that. And of course, goods and services, maybe we can just itemize the issues why we've only spent 18.9, but goods and services may also be affected by procurement and processes that will delay it in the first quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbunda.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to join my colleagues to send the presentation. Chair, most of the questions have been dealt with by my colleagues, but I have only two now. On slide 20, on the cyber warfare plan, where the department is reporting that they are still awaiting for the approval, but there's also a comment to say it's pending to the budget for establishment of the capability. So which means there is a problem of budget even to implement this plan. So I just want to check how possible, because they've already explained that they're going to implement it through the state in an improved phase approach. So I want to check how possible do they think that it is possible to implement during the first, I mean during the second or third quarter. Or are they, in their view, do they think that it could be implemented, it could be considered and implemented during the budget review process in the absence, considering you are already next to that period. Then the other issue is on this slide 39, where the complaints have not yet finalized. Yes, I do understand, but this is the issue of the stakeholders, but can we just get an indication what are those stakeholders and what are the reasons? Don't they have the agreement with them to finalize or to respond to some of the of the concerns that are required? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair, with your indulgence, it is one that I've missed.
Okay.
On the slide 55, and just with regards to the what the secretary said, that the plan was 22.6%. So the other one that seems to be a problem is transfer and subsidies, which is already 23.9%. So maybe the secretary must just give us indication of because it, you know, it's not necessarily cut in the next 4 quarters. Because it can sometimes accumulate, have a snowball effect. What are those, and what are probable causes of that, and what can be done? Thank you.
Honourable members, I realise that we may not finish our morning program this morning. And it doesn't matter. We've got the whole day. We'll finish the program.
Yep. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Are we answering try and answer the easy questions and refer the difficult ones to the team that we have brought along. The questions that I will then be referring out will be for all the questions around cyber defense, cyber warfare, to be referred to General Kundu, who is here with me. I'm just preparing him that maybe he'll be the first to come in after I have answered the other questions. I will also ask him to see whether he can fit in if I have left something on the issues of the flying hours, which I will also address. I will then ask our Chief Director of Financial Services to answer the question of Honorable Maria on the transfer and subsidies for the quarter, that is Madam Chiridzi, who is here with us to answer in terms of when we transfer them to the other state agencies, like transfer maybe like the Council Board or Military Ombud, other state arms corps, other state agencies that are reporting to the Department of Defense, what was the reason to transfer, to be found to have transferred more than we planned on the on our annual plan. And then as I go along, I will allocate the other questions as needed. Starting then with Honorable Bongo, and maybe to all the honorable members, to thank them for the kind way addressed to the department in terms of this performance report. Especially surrounding the issue of the shortfall of the cost of employees and our plan to that we have presented in terms of the generation of revenues through various mechanisms such as disposal of obsolete equipment, leveraging of endowment property in order to raise funds for the Department of Defense to be able to meet these shortfalls. I would like to report to Honorable Chairperson to the committee that we have established a task team, the Department of Defense National Treasury Task Team on Budget. I think we just referred to it as a budget task team for Department of Defense and National Treasury. That is looking at all issues, including the issue of generation of revenues, but also in looking at the issues of funding the defense review in order to arrest the decline and the capabilities of the defense force. So in this regard, then I would just like to try and answer all those questions that might be referred to this aspect that are related to this matter of the funding of the defense review. That budget task team of Department of Defense and National Treasury, they have since developed a what we can call a costing of the defense review. And the costing of the implementation of the defense review has been developed in various work packages. In other words, for this first, second, or third, but total of 5 work packages. Some of these work packages do not require additional funding, like making the system more efficient. But the options also that were raised during this funding model was that if you take option one, whereby the arrest of the decline funding is to be achieved within the first then it could cost so much, but the disadvantage of that is that even if you are able to provide that funding, the Department of Defense might not have the capability to spend additional funding if it is done so quickly within 3 years. That's option one. Option two is within 6 years. Now, that is two MTEFs. If it's done within 6 years, this is how much it will cost you, this is how much to implement. Then the third option was to do it within 9 years over a long period of time, over three MTSF periods. Option three of 9 years was found not to be reasonable, because if you wait and want to arrest the decline over 9 years, it will cost the department more eventually, because the decline would have continued over the 9 years. So it will cost you more if you want to wait for the next 9 years. Besides that, Honorable Chairperson, if you are to pay over a long period of time, it will cost you more just because of the financing model. I think Honorable Chairperson will remember the last time you bought a car, they asked you whether you want to pay within 5 years or 6 years, and if you want to pay within 6 years, you might think that you are making a small installment, but when you finish making the installment, the financing model over 6 years was more expensive than it would have been over 5 years. So the option that has been recommended is option two, that let's try and see whether we can arrest the decline within 6 years. We would like to come to the portfolio committee when the portfolio committee has had time to present these various funding models and the plan that we have for the funding of the defense review. The budget task team of the Department of Defense and National Treasury have developed their report, and the executive management, senior management of the Department of Defense has looked at that report that has been presented, and that report is ready to be presented. But the issue then that General Bongo is raising in terms of generation of revenues cannot be embarked upon until such report of funding for the defense review and the ring fencing of such funding has been finalized along the processes that we have engaged with. Because in that funding model, we also indicate that if we are allowed to retain the reinvestment from the UN, leveraging of defense endowment, and to retain the generation of revenues with the disposal of consolidated equipment, we do highlight that the additional funding then required for the acquisition of defense review will be so much over the period. All of that is captured in that presentation that we look forward to make to the portfolio committee when we are ready. And when it comes to the empowerment of the rural communities and generation of revenues, I think it's all going to be covered through such a presentation. I will then move on, Honorable Chairperson, to the next question of Honorable Marae, which is that one of the deployment of our subunits along the borders. The question, I think, is specific to say, is it adequate? Is it effective? My response then, or our response in that regard, Honorable Chairperson, would be that the country is defended, the country is secured. But if we were to say effectively and efficiently, probably not effectively and efficiently. Defended, secured, yes, but effectively and efficiently, probably not. Yes, we have done assessment in terms of how much it would require, how many units, subunits would be required to ensure that it is at least effectively and efficiently. And at this point, the last time we did that assessment, that it requires 22 units. So these 15 units that are deployed, they are far in between and thin along the border. For instance, border between Mozambique and KwaZulu-Natal. We had to move, we had six companies along the border between Mozambique and KwaZulu-Natal, and we had three companies along the border between South Africa and Swaziland. We had to move two units from border with South Africa and Swaziland into the border, into the borderline between Mozambique and South Africa. So that you will find then when you see a surge and increase in cross-border crimes in this area, you move units from this area into that area, and once you have done that, you get stuck for a while now, because when are you going to move them back to where they were deployed initially? So we deal with this kind of movement from one area to another, and from another area to another, depending on the fluidity of this cross-border crimes along our borders from time to time. But to a point whereby we say we wish we had 22 companies and we only have 15 to effectively defend our border. So the question is that yes, it is not adequate. We are doing our best, and we have achievements this morning in terms of the arrest of illegal migrants as well as the confiscation of illicit goods along our borders. When it comes to the flying hours, I think we, General Kundu will elaborate on that, but in our report, Honorable Murray, we did say that the out of the flying hours of 1,218 that were conducted during this period under review, the flying hours for the VVIP is 174 flying hours. So we can then, at least Honorable Members can get that feel, that for VVIP, it's only 174 out of a total of 1,218. And these hours really, whether it's hours at sea or flying hours, they include both forced employment as well as training. So it's both, I think these ones that we have here, that we have put in our report, they are only limited to forced employment. We did not include the training. So training hours are not included here. These are forced employment hours. These are operational hours that are included. But General Kundu will elaborate further on that one, as well as the impact maybe on the fees. But I think for inquiries, as you have indicated, there is a need. The training of this of our pilots does include training on various platforms. I think whether the platform is in Kwazi or the other aircraft platforms that are utilized, but you will have training hours and you will have operational hours as such. I think we have talked then about that shortage of 1.972, but it gives me an opportunity now to cover what Honorable Issa was talking about rejuvenation, about forced rejuvenation. The forced rejuvenation is really a major project that the Department of Defense is working on. And also, I think I can also cover the breakdown of our cost in terms of 40, 40. Is that most of the NATO forces, actually, their cost of employees is 50% of their total budget. Most of the NATO forces is 50%. But when you look at South Africa itself, about 5 to 7 years ago, we were within 40%. And at that time, we had higher headcount in the Department of Defense. We had more than 78,000. So the reason why now it's close to 50% expenditure or moving from 50 to 54% is exactly because of the cut on the budget itself. So as you can imagine, if you did not cut by 3 billion or 5 billion over the next 10 years, then you would still be within the range. But if we are going to cut the cost, I mean the total, the whole budget of the Department of Defense is going to be reduced by more than 5 billion over the next 10 years, especially focusing on the wage itself, then obviously the percentage of the cost of employees will appear higher than before. I can report to the portfolio committee that we have reduced the headcount in the Department of Defense over the last 3 to 4 years from 78,000 to 75,000. For this financial year, we're budgeting for 75,500, and for the next financial year, we're budgeting for 75,500, and this is the minimum force required in terms of our strategic and policy plans in order to ensure that we meet the commitment. It's 75,500 after that reduction. Yes, we agree that we do have a quadrant or a component of our defense force that might be older than required for deployment. So after 45, 50, you might not be eligible for deployment in our borders, maritime security, and in our peacekeeping operations. But yes, you are still within the Department of Defense. And when we talk rejuvenation, we are saying, how do we then exit a certain component and recruit a certain component so that the force as a whole is rejuvenated, the younger ones come in, and the elder ones exit. That is what we mean by force rejuvenation, but the number remains as 75,500 as a minimum requirement of the Department of South African Defense Force to ensure that they are able to fulfill their constitutional mandate. I think maybe you can put those targets, Karen, and then explain to them, and then I'll come back.
Regarding slide 8, the first column indicates quarterly targets per main program. It starts with 13, summarized at 30. The second column indicates biannuals, of which there's just 3. But I think the slight confusion, or that what can be confusing, is in terms of the column annual target. But the Q 1, 2, 3, and 4 underneath annual targets are just the indication of when that specific annual target is reported on. For instance, first column, Q 1, 2, that means the administration main program has got 2 annual targets, but the target is reported on in the first quarter. That's the reason. If you then calculate the 251 and 46, that's the number of annual targets within the administration program. Therefore, the 67 relates then to the pie diagram just in terms of annuals and quarters that indicate how many annual versus quarterly. So annual target, the Q1 to 4 is the indication
of when that specific annual target is going to report it on. So not all of them are at quarter four. They are, for instance, in quarter two or quarter three. And then the bottom total, 30 quarterly targets plus three biannuals. And the next four columns equal 67, which means it's annual target, just divided in a specific quarter. I hope that will assist.
Thank you very much, Karen. We then, just for me to conclude on the issue of the border safeguarding again, I agree with Honorable Esau that yes, we do have a risk, as you, Honorable Esau, you have referred to the landing strips, airports along the borders that actually lead to various cross-border crimes. Actually, we have seen most of these cross-border crimes committed along these landing strips, and there's a big concern about the landing strips that we find on the in Northwest Province and the Northern Cape, with borders with Botswana as well as borders with Namibia, that sometimes affects the wildlife illicit trade in this area. So we fully agree that we would need to increase and intensify our security around these areas, resources allowing. And yes, our defense attachés, we had cut back from 46 to 44 as part of our cost containment measures, and the participation is integrated. Our participation in various defense diplomacy and foreign policy of the is really towards the benefit of the country. And our defense attaché work closely with the embassies. They work closely with other intelligence services, such as from state security as well as police intelligence. And all of that, I think, is really to the major benefit. But it would be interesting, I think, if we can engage more with DECO to try and quantify the benefit that is derived from our deployment of our DA and attaché. But yes, they do have their own performance plans and their performance agreements, and they are involved in submitting reports to the Department of Defense in terms of their performance. Honorable Esau, just quickly, maybe there was a misunderstanding in terms of our employment when we say in terms of our employment in the DRC, when we say that they have been suspended. Actually, the deployment in the DRC is going ahead, especially in the eastern parts of the DRC under the force under MONUSCO. As such, there is no change there. What we were referring to in particular is just a matter of the one base, which is for training. That is it's called Mission Tebe, and it's really for training in the in the Moisi base there. All that happened there was that we had our trainers on site, but the DRC did not in the Mura base, the DRC armed forces did not bring the battalion that was supposed to be trained. So they have been since called back and are waiting to final arrangement, because the DRC says that they have a change of circumstances. Rather than training the whole battalion, they want just to bring the trainers so that we train the trainers. So the temporary suspension is that they are being brought back while we are rearranging and engaging with the DRC. Once they are ready with the trainers, because we had then had to give them the competences that is required if it's the trainers as opposed to training the whole team. So that is being rearranged during that quarter under review, and it's going to be resumed on time. Yes, there are challenges in terms of the repairs of the fleet of the Navy from time to time due to
due to the various costs that are required to do so. But the Navy has done a proper prioritization so that they can focus on making sure that the repair facilities both in Samuelstown and Durban are actually achieved. In terms of the savings that will have to come from a reprioritization and avoid the overspending, that's what we'll be working on, and the reprioritization is as we speak. Right now, we do have the budget planners meeting taking place within the department to look into those reprioritization for this current financial year to see how best it can be achieved and deal whatever shortfalls that are might be coming up from one program to another. We concur that performance at 71% maybe needs to be improved, and we would like to commit that performance will improve as we go into the financial year. And the disciplinary cases that are not finalized within 90 days as would require, it's mostly because of the external chairpersons and coordinators of the hearings. The Department of Public Service Administration provides a panel of available, competent chairpersons of various disciplinary hearings. Sometimes their availability is limited to their own schedule, and that makes it difficult from time to time to achieve the target of having them circled within 90 days. Yes, the Surgeon General will be here in the afternoon, but we do realize that because of the need to revamp our medical equipment, sometimes we end up having to refer patients to outsourcing it to other service providers simply because certain medical equipment might not be working as it's supposed to work in our own facilities, whether it's dental equipment or radiology equipment and other such equipment. And we do have a plan towards revamping and refurbishing and wherever required, replacing those that medical equipment so that most of the medical services can be rendered within the South African military health services. I think, as I indicated, Honorable Tambuza, that on the cyber warfare, General Kundu will provide us with more information in that regard. At this point in time, then, I would like to maybe invite General Kundu to respond to those questions that I've referred to him. And Honorable Chairperson, I think that will be it. Thank you.
Thank you, Executive. Firstly, I'll first deal with the cyber warfare strategy and the concomitant implementation plan. The duty to develop a cyber response capacity for the nation, for the Republic of South Africa, lies with the security sector departments entirely, not only the DoD. And it is done within the national cyber framework. Other state departments within the security sector have got their role to play, i.e. SSA is developing another set of documents, SAPS on cyber crime and Department of Justice, but the role of the Department of Defense and the SANDF will be to build a cyber defense or a cyber warfare strategy that will include an offensive and a defensive capability in cases of cyber threat and attacks. Now, the JCPS cluster has taken a decision that they should make sure that the product that is developed in the DoD dovetails with the product that is developed in other participating state departments. And funding should also take that model, because you need to develop a capability. You don't want this one to be well in place and the other one is not in place. However, within the department, within the means that are available through the TPBEC process, there are funding that has been made available for the implementation of the cyber warfare plan, particularly phase one to phase four. Now, phase four is implementation itself. An example, there is a qualification that is being planned for 2018 onwards at the military academy, for which funding is made available. So that is the first tangible output or action that is being made to make sure that this offensive and defensive cyber capability for the country is then developed. Secondly, in respect of the flying hours, I agree with the SecDef. The flying hours only involve force employment hours. It does not indicate force preparation hours. In the last performance indicator workshop that we had, we are contemplating including everything, giving a total picture of what the Air Force or the output that the Air Force gives us. Your flying hours, beginning with force preparation as well as force employment. But that still must go through the approval processes in the command bodies of within the department. The squadron that is involved is always one, the 21 squadron. These flying hours are actually accumulated, obviously, from external operations, your peace support operations, whether it's sustainment flights or flights that are being done in theater. But all those flying hours that are generated within the auspices of joint operations or force employment, externally and internally. If you go to internal operations, you'll see that the Air Force has generated a couple of hours. In the documents or packs that you have, you can cross-reference to page 3 and 4, where you will get to know the extent to which flying hours were generated through Op Prosper and Op Chariot. The leased aircraft is not counted as part of the either VVIP or force employment hours. We are counting only those hours that are generated using our own air platforms. And lastly, if I may beg the indulgence of the SecDef, there is a relationship between border safeguarding strategy and sensor strategy. The sensor strategy involves the use of sensors towards the defense and protection of the country. The imperative thereof will be brought to bear on the border safeguarding strategy. In other words, the border safeguarding strategy will indicate to us whether we confirm that we make use of the mobile approach to border safeguarding operations. In other words, not only static deployments of 15 or any number of mobile of landward subunits, but also the use of technology to multiply the effect, the operational effect of those units and the so-called mobility packs, so that you mean horses, motorcycles, and even aircraft. So those two strategies will be aligned, and that was the guideline that was given by the Military Command Council. Now, because the sensor strategy has not yet been approved, then it means it has not yet been costed. I guess that the portfolio committee will advise the department if it wants a presentation on the cyber as well as the sensor strategies indicated by the honorable members, as of when these two strategies have been approved, not only at the level of the department, but also at the level of the JCPS minister. I've already indicated that these strategies will have to dovetail with other work that is being done by other participating departments within the JCPS. Then it means whatever product that we have, it still must be scrutinized by the participating departments in the cluster. And there must be consensus so that the ministers at the end of the day endorse it through an approval. Thanks, SecDef.
Thank you very much. Maybe Ms. Chibilika will just cover quickly that short question on the transfers?
Thank you, SecDev and Honorable Chair. The transfers to the department are actually in line. In the first quarter, there's a small difference of 47 million, which was done in that period, and it was allowed because it's within the deviation percentage. Thank you.
For the MSDS.
Who's speaking?
Chief Director in our financial services, Ms. Chibilika. And for the MSDS, I think I fully agree that the objective of the military skills development system of the Department of Defense is to rejuvenate the South African National Defense Force. In other words, we train the young recruits, the young men and women who are joining the Department of Defense, so that they can be absorbed into the South African National Defense Force. Now, because of the limited budget, as we have seen now, but also I think, as we have indicated, because of the age profile of the South African National Defense Force, we were discussing this age profile of South African National Defense Force in National Treasury, actually, as of yesterday, meeting with the acting Director General of the Department of Defense, of the Department of National Treasury, where we were highlighting on our part to say this was a major contribution of maybe the South African National Defense Force towards social cohesion, integration, and social transformation of our country as a whole. The contribution that was made of unifying all of those armed forces during the transitional period from apartheid to democracy, what we then referred to as non-statutory forces from the various homelands, liberation movement, and what then we was referred to as a statutory force into one South African National Defense Force was a major contribution to this country, to this nation, and to the stability of our democracy. That should be recognized. We might be now remaining with an age profile that is not that is not adequate for the mission intended for the South African National Defense Force, but the contribution was not just by the Department of Defense or the South African National Defense Force. It was really towards the whole country, and this is, needs to be recognized. So the burden for the rejuvenation of the South African National Defense Force, we strongly believe, should not just be with the South African National Defense Force, should be with the country as a whole. Thank you.
Are we done?
I'm done.
We are done. Honorable Issa, Honorable Marie.
Because we're asking the time frames, how long will this take? I know there's a consultation process, there's the JCP, the joint cluster, security cluster. We understand that, but we need to have some idea of where we're going, how much time will it take, because that is not clearly answered. How are we going to implement the phases, and who's actually leading and driving this process? There needs to be a lead department that champions this. And then the ICT, just to allay our concerns, I see the ICC has not achieved the target. If those mitigating issues have been dealt with, and that we're looking forward to the ICT actually being improved, because it's a very important component of any administration, modern administration.
that it can function optimally and that we can actually deal with issues much quicker, whether it is fraud detection or whether it is staff, whether anything. The technology ICT is a very important component for any administration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just for me to respond to, in terms of the squadrons that I've asked, I mean, I know that VIP is 21 squadron, but surely that other forced employment hours was not used by 21 squadron, so I was referring to the other squadrons as well that was using that forced employment hours. So that was I was interested in. Then secondly, where does the phrase that you're using, forced preparations, in other words, training hours, where are that reflected? Because eventually it is part of the South African Air Force budget that gets everything put into one budget eventually. Where is that reported? Because what we've got in the main budget is so many flying hours at this cost that is available for in terms of the budget. So if there are if it's reported in more than one place, the one is forced employment, and you've said that this is only forced employment, where does the other get reported? And why does that not why does that not get reported to us? First of all, that one I require, and then secondly, in terms of the cost to get leased aircraft in, that also forms part of the total budget. Now, if you say this is not included into this flying hours, it also tells me that you've got so many hours for yourself. Now, to go and lease aircraft at a cost and then only report at, in terms of the forced employment hours as if that is the only hours that has been flown for the Defence Force is also a skewed picture. So we want the full picture. We want the full picture because eventually we get to a total budget of the Defence Force and Department of the Defence and say, we need so much more money. So please report on that. Don't leave anything out for us to ask about that, because surely that's part of your cost. Surely training is part of your preparations. Report to us. Why is that not reportable, flying hours, or even on sea? Why is that not reportable? If you're making a difference, I mean, please be honest with us and tell us why you're making this difference, and why is it not then allowable to report on that? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Murray. Just to highlight, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of reporting, we will be guided by the committee in terms of whatever format of reporting, whatever information. We will be happy to submit it in writing. But here we are reporting annual performance plan as derived from the performance indicators. This is, as you know, as a government, we work according to the standards that have set for us, both for reporting and auditing and everything. And working with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, they guide us. They take us through even the indicators in terms of what they would like to see, or sometimes they would take off the indicators that they think are not relevant or aligned to the medium-term strategic framework. So what Honorable Marae is saying is true, and the information is available and can be reported in whatever format that you'd like us to report on. But we might have to change maybe next year, because these indicators are cast in stone. And the Department of Public Monitoring and Evaluation will tell you, you cannot change the indicators in the middle of the year. So I'm going to come back next quarter and report exactly along these lines. But I think during the discussion then, we might indicate and say, please submit the following information in writing. So we have noted in terms of the training hours, to have them visible, the leasing aircraft hours, to have them visible. And then I don't know, in terms of the The census strategy, yes, we are the lead department for the census strategy, and we were still waiting for the issues of to finalize the census strategy. And also, once finalized, I think our plan is to finalize it in terms of time frame by the end of this financial year, and so that it can then be taken through the various department. But in terms of the cyber security as a whole, the state security agency coordinates the government-wide cyber security. We are only dealing with the cyber warfare aspect of it, but the whole cyber security is coordinated by the state security agency, and is actually establishing a cyber security center there. There is a committee, a cyber security committee that has been established by the government, and we will provide the hours that are utilized by other squadrons as requested, and other information that has been requested, Honorable Chairperson. The ICT strategy, we can report that in the second quarter, when we come back for the second quarter report, we should be reporting that the ICT strategy has been adopted, because I'm waiting for it to be presented to our executive forum this month, if not the following month of September. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think we... Oh, you still want to say something, huh? I think we need to stop at this stage. I understand there is a finger lunch prepared for you. Whatever it comes, whatever time it comes. Yeah. Through you, honorable members, you'll invite the department. So whatever time it comes, let's come back at 2 o'clock for the second session. I think they will come any time from now, they'll be there. She's good.